This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 21st, 2020, the second Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Turn, O Lord, and save my life. Deliver me for the sake of thy steadfast love. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Those words are from Psalm number 6. It's our offertory psalm for this day. Psalm number 6, if you go to confession here more than a few times, you will probably have received that one for penance. It is the first penitential psalm. Those words of encouragement, turn, O Lord, and save my life, deliver me for the sake of thy steadfast love, are the words of a psalmist who expects the mercies of God. But one of the reasons why I chose to do the psalms throughout this liturgical year was to bring them into context and just not leave single verses to our liking. Because a lot of the verses that we hear, they sound very positive, very good, but we don't know to what they are associated. This is not a way to approach Scripture. You need to approach Scripture understanding that everything in there has to be taken in its context. This first penitential psalm that we hear at our offertory today, with those encouraging words of expecting the mercies of our God, they set the stage for what we need to do to expect those mercies. And that is know who we are in the pecking order, so to speak. We have to appreciate the fact that confession is a huge part of our Catholic faith and life. This place here, I hear, oh, people don't go to confession, but I don't have that problem. People come from other places to come to confession here. I'm so happy about that. It's because it is a necessity. It's not something, oh, if I do something really bad, then I go to confession. The confessional is something that is, of the two sacraments, the Eucharist is just slightly above it. It is preeminent because it puts us in a proper disposition to receive the sacrament. If we don't have confession, we're not receiving the sacrament of the Eucharist properly and well-disposed. We need it. It must be regular. We have to appreciate it. This psalm, this is the Old Testament, mind you. This is a psalm that teaches us how to go to confession. It teaches us confession. It's the first penitential. There are seven penitential psalms for your little Catholic trivia book. Seven penitential psalms of the Church. This is the first one. It needs to be approached like that. And the reason I say that is because of this. Because in preparation for this, two different places in the commentaries that I was using, and they are more modern commentaries. Roberto, our seminary, and I were sitting in an office yesterday, and I was going through one of my versions of the Bible that I have up at the desk just to see what it said about this particular psalm and how it was translated. And I was aghast at the fact that this first penitential psalm, the heading over it is a prayer for the recovery from grave illness. I don't know where they got that. This doesn't have anything to do with it. He is very astute. He said, well, maybe you mean grave illness and sin. Well, they should just say that, but okay, maybe. Because sin is a grave illness. It's terminal. All right? We have to appreciate that, and we have to approach our Lord like that. The psalm is about penance. It's not about recovering from being sick, okay? Another commentary, it at least admitted that it was a penitential psalm, but it said, and I quote, you know, yeah, it's a penitential psalm, you know, and it speaks of sin, but because of God's grace, our sins are of little account. That is not only fallacious, it's false, it is dangerous to souls. Our sins are to grave account before God. And what makes them particularly heinous is because of his grace and mercy. He has showered grace and mercy on us, and we still continue to live outside of his will. We continue still to spit in his face by committing sins these kind of presentations are why I'm doing what I'm doing with the Psalms, because we know what we have to know what they are. Okay, when you get this Psalm 6 for repentance in the confessional, you don't leave thinking, I'm not sick. My Bible says it's for recovery of illness. It's not. Here's the first line in the Psalm. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy anger, nor chastise me in thy wrath. That's kind of set the stage what we're dealing with, right? God's angry at something, okay? God doesn't, you know, he's impassible. He's not bound by, like we are, to passions. He doesn't fly off the handle. This is human language to let us know how God feels about sin. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy anger, nor chastise me in thy wrath. This psalmist is approaching our Lord as we should approach the confessional. Because this psalm, is a lot of people, penitential psalm, oh, it must, you know, tell me how bad I am. No, as a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. This penitential psalm actually is a pattern of prayer. It's a pattern of prayer for one who is conscious of their sin. We have to be conscious that we're sinners. In this day and age, man, where everybody tells you, a lot of places you can go, all you hear about is how great you are and how much God loves you just because you're you, and on and on and on. You know, so it doesn't surprise me that a lot of people are walking around thinking, I'm okay, I guess. God just loves the heck out of me because I'm part of creation. That's not the case. We need to approach God understanding who we are, particularly as Catholics, because we have special graces that have been presented to us. We have special things going on for us that if we don't live in accord with his will, we are worse than the pagans. We have to be conscious of that. It doesn't matter how much. Well, that's only a little sin. Any sin is an offense against an infinite God and thus has infinite consequences. We have to appreciate that. This prayer that is a pattern for one who is conscious of sin as it approaches the confessional. Approaching, because what do you do when you enter the confessional? You don't approach Father who's in there. You approach Jesus Christ in there. You approach Jesus Christ. The priest sits in a persona Christi. That's why the absolution. I absolve you from all of your sin. I can't absolve you from any of it. I, standing in persona Christi, can. You speak for Jesus Christ directly. So when you go in the confessional, you are presenting yourself to Jesus Christ personally. That's why we go there. He wants you to open up. The Garden of Eden, after the fall, what does he do? He seeks out Adam and Eve in his grace. He could, like, if you're anything like me, you should have shut this place down, started over. All right? But he's not. He's gracious. He's God. He knows where they are. Where are you? I hid myself. Why did you hide yourself? It's like a parent talking to a little child that's broke something in the house and they're the only one in there. Okay? God of his grace is, he's drawing out a confession. We have to approach God when we go into confessional asking forgiveness. This psalmist starts it out like that. He presents his condition. And then he elaborates his condition. This is what you go to. This is maybe this is a little teaching lesson instead of a homily. If you go into the confessional, don't use euphemisms for what you do or generalizations. I think probably the biggest one is impure thoughts. I had impure thoughts. It doesn't help me, okay? Thinking about robbing a bank is an impure thought. Now, most people think of other things when they say that. But, you know, help, this whole holy physician thing, would you go to the doctor's office and say, I don't feel well? What's wrong with you? I don't feel well. Help me out here. You know, give me a little bit of detail. Okay, a little bit of detail, not too much, because some people go to the other end of the spectrum and they're like, I did this and this is how I did it. Whoa, 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 whoa. I don't care. I did this one time and we're done. Okay? But you have to be specific when you go to the confessional. You have to elaborate. The psalmist does it. Well, why do we have to do that? It's not because I say so, because that's my attitude in the confessional. It's because the Holy Spirit gives us this guidance. This psalmist who is confessing, he says such things as, I am languishing. My soul is sorely troubled. Save my life. It saved my life. This man knows under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that his sin could be for his death. And it doesn't mean stop living in this world. It means eternally. This is why we elaborate on our condition, because just like a doctor, we want the stuff fixed. We need the proper medicine. We don't want to just deal with the symptoms. We actually want to cure that particular disease. Okay, because after you do that, this is what... Oh, we don't talk about the penitential psalms because, you know, people don't like to hear about that. They should. They should rejoice in hearing these penitential psalms because you know what it speaks about? When you do all these things, you should expect God's mercies. You should trust in God that He is going to forgive you, that the absolution, you should never walk out of it. I heard those words, but I don't really know if I'm really absolved or not. Because that was so many years in that, or that was so horrible, or this, that, or the other thing. What you're doing that, you're blaspheming when you think like that. Because you're saying that your sin is more powerful than Christ's blood. They said on Sacred Heart Day, Christ could have just said the word and we would have been redeemed. If He had just shed one drop of His blood, it would have been enough for every sin that has ever been, is being committed, or ever will be committed on the face of this planet. One drop. But He emptied Himself for us, and you still have people who question. That in and of itself is grave matter. We should never, ever question as to whether or not we're absolved in the confessional, so long as you were truly contrite and you also have a firm purpose to amend your life. As long as those two things are going on, don't be overwhelmed when you read some old spiritual reading that said perfect contrition. Because we have this tendency to say, perfect, how can it be perfect as we can make it, as well as it can be with us? You know, not just, I'm sorry I have to come in here and say this, but truly to go in there and know that in addition to say that you, as I said before, spit in God's face, basically trampled on a crucifix by your sin, particularly if it is grave. This is the confessional, and this is what we hear about in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit wants to set the stage for us. He always wants us to be prepared to come in there. It just praise God that we have what we have now. We've got to appreciate it, because we should expect God's mercies when we leave there. The psalm also has a couple things of practical theology that you need to come away with just for your understanding, particularly in some of them kind of rub up against what we hear so commonly now. Verse 8 of the psalm. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. These are the words of the psalmist. Because he's in sin because of the influence of evil people. Now that he is in sin, they continue to try to keep him there. And he says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. You know who uses those exact same words in the New Testament? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in one of the most scary passages of Scripture. If I would actually submit to you, it is the most scary portion of Scripture. It's when our Lord Jesus Christ says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this in your name? Have we not done that in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And he looks at them and he says, I never knew you. Then he uses the words of this psalm, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There's a lot of Catholics now who don't think anybody's going to hell. Everybody's going to heaven, okay? It's called universalism. It's a heresy. Everybody's not going to heaven. If you use Jesus' stats, more people are going to hell than are going to heaven, okay? That's him. Those are, many are called, but few are chosen, things like that, that are throughout Scripture. Everybody's not going to heaven. And the scary part of this whole thing is these people think they're okay. They think they're okay. Lord, Lord. Not teacher, not master. They are presuming on his lordship in their life. I could think of all kind, and I'm talking about Catholics. I'm talking about practicing Catholics. If practicing is going to Mass on Sunday, who live a lifestyle where, guess what? This is going to apply to them. Lord, Lord, did I not go to Mass on Sunday, every Sunday? I went to a daily Mass every now and then, Lord. I've done that in your name. Depart from me. I never knew you. How does it get any more scary than that? To think you're okay. Now, you know what? Well, how does anybody know? If you conform to his will, because these people of whom I speak, they are directly thumbing their nose at what the church teaches, has always taught, what the scriptures teach. Just out now thumbing their nose. There's salad bar Catholicism. I like that part. I don't like that. I'll have none of that. I'll have double of that. Okay? It's not the dessert bar. We have to appreciate that our Lord has parameters. Teaching them all I have commanded you. This psalm, Psalm number 6, is where our Lord gets those words. Verse number 6. This is in a different context. This is why the church teaches, for instance, we can speak of fasting occasionally. Fasting amplifies our prayers. Okay? Our Lord tells us that. Our apostle. How come we couldn't cast out those demons? Those kind only come out with prayer and fasting. There are some situations in which prayer is not enough. It is not enough. You're not saying enough. You have to add something to it. You have to amplify it. And you amplify by such things as fasting, almsgiving. Here's one. If you use the term vigil to most Catholics in our day, what does that mean to them? What's Saturday night's Mass? Or the Mass in the evening before a day of obligation? That's a vigil. That's not how the church has always viewed vigils. As a matter of fact, the dominant definition of that word up to about 75 years ago was something that you did as a corporal work of penance or a corporal work of mercy, depending on the context. A vigil was where you stayed up at night and prayed. Where you stayed up a couple hours past your bedtime and prayed, or all night and prayed, if it was really serious, or if you got up a couple hours early and prayed. Where did the church get this idea? From the psalmist. Every night I flood my bed with tears. In his case, the context was his own sin. He was so sorry for it that he kept vigil at night. Instead of being comfy in his bed and asleep, he prayed. This is where the church gets these concepts. A lot of people, corporal work of penance, I don't want to talk about that because back in the day where they used to whip themselves and wear hair shirts. I don't want any part of that. How about staying up at night? I would submit to you that a lot of people don't have any problem staying up at night to stay out late at this or go watch that. You know, that's not a problem. But to stay up and just pray, keeping vigil amplifies your prayers. This is where we get the idea, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 5. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In hell, who can give thee praise? This psalmist is approaching God, as we started this out, understanding that he is a sinner. And he understands that his sin can get him cast into hell, because he has a proper understanding of who God is and how he works. Okay? He understands this. But he appeals to God and said, for in death there is no remembrance of you. When we die, when we cross over, it's done. This is the time, right now, for repentance, for turning away from the things that we do that we know are not in conformity with God's will. You cannot put it off. Or I should say, because a lot of people do. It is a very, very dangerous thing to put it off, because when all of a sudden that sudden and unexpected death that we pray will never happen to us, when that does happen, as it does to many people, when that happens, all bets are off. You're done. Okay? Now is the time that he shows us mercy. Now is the time when we can come to him in repentance. Now is the time when we can go to confessional. You can't go to confession after you die. The judgment seat is just that. St. Jerome puts it in a nutshell. He says, here, Jesus Christ is merciful. There, he is judge. This is why this is so important. This is why it is of absolute necessity for us to understand the Psalms that teach us how to live our Catholic life in a very practical manner. You know, they are just not really nice lines to put in the Mass. Okay? They are parts of prayers that we need to understand, because they are for our betterment. Because through those prayers and through actions in accord with this revealed will of God, we can expect his mercies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.